The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text for this Sunday morning is found in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll just read verses 19 and 20. That's Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 and 20, where Paul writes and says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." You see, this was Paul's prayer to the believers at Ephesus, a part of it anyway. It's the prayer of every God-called minister who has a responsibility to a people, and especially the people who, by the grace of God, have been brought to believe in Christ. And this is their prayer for these people, that they may know the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, that very power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. You see, believing God, it's not an act of man's corrupt affections. Believing God is not an act of man's corrupt will. Believing God is not an act of man's corrupt intellect. Believing God takes an act of God, according to the Scripture. And the Apostle Paul is no less clear in this passage. He wanted these people to know. He said in verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." And a part of that is this: "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." That is the power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So believing God takes an act of God. Now let me say clearly, God does not believe for a man or a woman, but God's creating, resurrecting power is essential to any man or woman's believing God. The easy believism of our day is a lie. And you know what I mean by that? I mean by this teaching that's so prevalent in our day that everybody can believe, they just don't. It's just not so. The easy believism today, that this thing that says all men need is just to be informed. And if they're informed properly and persuaded properly and persuaded enough, then they have the ability to believe. We just need to persuade them enough and inform them enough. That's easy believism, and no such thing is taught in Scripture. Believing takes the very resurrection power of God Almighty. This idea of duty faith, of a duty believing, is a lie. And what do I mean by that? I mean this idea that what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, what he did in all of his life, in his virgin birth, in his perfect life, and in his death, burial, and resurrection, he did that for everybody. And then men have to come up with faith, and then that faith makes what Christ did and who Christ is of benefit to them. And that's this idea of duty faith or a duty believing, and that is a lie just as well. Men do not believe to make what God did in Christ at Calvary effectual. What God did in Christ makes believing a reality by the sovereign power of God Almighty. Apostate preachers always twist the word of God. They always get the cart before the horse. They'll say, if you believe, God will give you his mighty power. No, if you believe, it's because God Almighty exercised his mighty power. So An apostate preacher will always do that. Get the cart before the horse. Twist everything around. Just take a verse and take what it says and then just twist it right around to mean something totally opposite. As an illustration, our Lord said these words to some people, "But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep." And then apostate preachers take and turn that right around and say, well, the reason people are not sheep is because they don't believe. That is not what Jesus Christ taught. You see, the power of God is what it takes for anyone to believe. The power that it takes for anyone to believe is the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe. All who believe, they believe according to the working of God's mighty power. And that power is the very power which God wrought in Christ when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted Christ in glory. Read it again. Listen to it again if you can't read it. Listen to what he said. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I mentioned this to an individual some weeks ago, and the individual was totally at a loss. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. And you know why he couldn't see it? He couldn't see it because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So again, I say that the power it takes for anyone to believe is the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe. And all who believe, they believe according to the working of God's mighty power. And that mighty power is the very power which God wrought in Christ when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted Christ in glory. And nevertheless, with all of the evidence of Scripture, with all of the clear, straightforward, straight cut, straight lace words given by God through God ordained men, and yet God haters still in this day and age tout man's free will. That's nothing less than absolute heresy against the truth of God. You see, the Scripture is replete with evidence about believing. It's replete with it. Now let me just give you a couple passages that speak of the word believing. According to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, it is given to some to believe. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, that it's not only given to you to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. While the emphasis, of course, in Philippians 1:29 is the being given the sufferings, but yet he also says it's given to you to believe. Given to you to believe. It is given to some to believe. According to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, Peter says that men believe God by Christ, not through him even, though that's certainly true, but men believe God by Christ, that you who by him, that is Christ, do believe in God. Men believe God by Christ. Not only that, men only believe, that is, they only believe God. They only believe God concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men only believe after having been born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but only after having been born of God. This is clearly what John the Apostle was moved to write by the Holy Spirit of God in John chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. That is, those who receive Christ, even to them that believe on his name. And he says, which were born, not which get born. They don't believe to be born. They believe because they have been born. And born how? He says, first, not of blood. It's not human ancestry. It's not of the will of the flesh. Any so-called free will you have is of no value to you. It's not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It has nothing to do with man, but it is being born of God. Men believe Christ, and they receive Christ only after having been born of God. Not only that, according to Luke, when he was recording to Theophilus the things that were most surely believed amongst believers, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, Luke records these words, that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's Acts 13, 48. That's Luke's own words, being moved by the Spirit of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, they are the ones that believed. And it's clearly, go back and look at the context. Look at that chapter sometimes. Paul was clear to some of those Jews that he said there would be a message preached in your day, a message that you would in no wise believe, even though someone declared it to you. But who does believe then? And who does believe? As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And not only that, according to Luke in Acts chapter 18 and verse 27, men believe through the grace of God. It takes the grace of God. The Apostle Paul is quite clear in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's what he said. For by grace are you saved through faith. Moved by the Spirit of God to write it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And yet these apostate preachers I spoke of, these men turn that right around and they say, for by faith are you saved through grace. They say, you come up with faith, God will give you grace. No, God has to give you grace before you ever have faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And the Greek is quite clear in its wording there, that the grace is not of you. The faith is not of you. Therefore, none of the salvation is of you. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, that is, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the scripture is clear. Just in these five illustrations, it's given to some to believe. Men believe God only by Christ. Men only believe after they've been born of God. As many as were ordained to eternal life, they're the ones who believe. And men believe through the grace of God. This is so true, so profound, so sure, such an important thing, so much so that even our Lord spoke of this. And I'm going to read you this passage back in John. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 6. And listen to what he says. John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Now, our Lord was quite clear. They weren't seeking Christ for out of any spiritual need. They were seeking Christ because they got their bellies filled. And he says these words, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father said, sealed. And listen, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Do you see that? It sounds like a natural question, doesn't it? It's because it is a natural question. It's not a spiritual question. And listen to how our Lord Jesus Christ responded. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Did you hear that? He didn't say, these are the works of God that you believe. He said, this is the work of God. It's a play on words. Do you see what our Lord was saying? They want to know, what can we do to make this true? Christ said, God has to do to make this true. He said unto them, he answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. This is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, That's the positive. At least that's just some of the positive statements concerning believing. That the power that it takes for anyone to believe is the exceeding greatness of God's power. And that all who believe God, all who believe Christ, they believe according to the working of God's mighty power. And that mighty power is the same power that God exercised when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted Christ and raised him up into glory and set him in his own right hand, far above everything. So we see that there's the positive of it. It is the work of God that men believe. It takes the work of God for men to believe. It takes a creative, sovereign act of God for men to believe. Now, that's the positive side. But there is a negative side. I want to turn to Mark chapter 9. And I want you to listen to a statement which was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man who came to Christ and had requested of Jesus Christ that he would do something for him. And he had a child. And this is what it says in Mark chapter 9. Let's just read a little bit of the context and see it. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since came this upon him? And he said, of a child, this malady that this child had. And listen to what the father said. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's a solid request, is it not? This boy's child was in great distress. He had this malady that was going to destroy the boy. And he asked Christ, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, now listen to the words that Christ said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you see that? If thou canst believe. Why would Christ say, if thou canst, if it was a given that all men have free will and can? You see, it makes no sense whatsoever. Men today, through the spirit of Antichrist, lie about the very words of Christ. And our Lord, the Christ of God, spoke to that man and said, if thou canst believe. Why? Because some men can't. The question was not that man couldn't. But if thou canst, you know what? Because some men cannot believe. And that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ said unto Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Remember what he said to Nicodemus? He said this in John chapter 3. Truly, truly, this is what Christ said to Nicodemus. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, you see it? How shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? You see, men, even by nature, can't even grasp the earthly things that God has expressed to us through and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they don't believe even that, how shall they believe if they're told heavenly things? The whole point is he couldn't. And this is why Christ had already told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see. That means to comprehend, to understand, to receive, or to believe the kingdom of God. He can't. He has to first be born again. Why? Because it's outside of man's natural ability. So there is the positive about believing. It's given to some to believe. Men believe God by Christ. Men only believe after being born of God. As many as were ordained to eternal life, they do believe. And men believe through the grace of God. But it's said, if thou canst believe, because some can't. And how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Our Lord even went on to say, to another group of people in John chapter 5. Listen to these words. Listen to what our Lord said in John chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 39. Listen to this. Search the scriptures, For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. You see it? You see the negativity of their will? They didn't have a free will. Their will was bound and not coming. They will not come. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And then hear this next verse. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ's own words. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do you see it? Christ clearly makes it plain. Nobody can believe as long as they're seeking that honor that comes from men and not from God. And how can any fallen son of Adam ever be that way? It takes the sovereign, mighty, resurrection, creating power of God Almighty, as the Apostle Paul clearly expressed in our text again, and I'll read it again, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Oh, do you see that? You see, that's just the word believing. We've seen the positive side. We've seen the negative side. There is stupendous evidence in Scripture. Go back and look at the word faith. All men have not faith. Faith is said to be the gift of God. Therefore, faith must come from God. Faith is declared to be the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of some so-called fictitious human free will. Coming, which is equal to faith. Receiving, which is equal to faith. Bowing, all of these things. It takes a mighty act of God. It takes the work of God's free and sovereign grace. So, why is it that many who profess to believe, why is it that many, so many who profess to be Christians, why is it that so many who profess to believe God, why is it that so many of them reject that they have believed in this matter? Why is it that they reject that it takes God's power? Why is it that they hold so vehemently to free will rather than God's will? One reason is they don't trust God's will. They don't trust God. They don't believe God, no matter what a man professes. This is why so many people profess to believe, but yet reject that it takes the power of God to believe. Their belief, the belief that they do have, is of them. The belief that they do have is some humanly wrought believing. It's not a believing of God. It's a believing of the flesh. It's not a believing of grace. As a matter of fact, according to what James says, there is a believing that is of satanic persuasion. James says this, "Ye believe that there is one God, ye do well." Ye do well, he says, the devils. You hear me? The devils, James says, believe and tremble. And yet, men today think that just because they've come up with some belief, because they've come up with some accepting certain historical facts about Jesus Christ, that this makes them the children of God, that this dictates that they love God. But you love God when you bow to his truth. You love God when you bow to his word, just like that woman who came and cried unto the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, help my daughter." She wasn't even asking for herself. And the first thing the Lord did was ignore her. And then when she pressed the issue, when she pressed it, our Lord turned and told that woman, "It is not proper for me to take the children's bread and give it to a dog like you." And you know what that woman said? "Truth, Lord." You know what you said? "Truth, Lord. I'm a dog. I'm a dog. You know what she said next? But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And our Lord said he had not found faith in, no such a faith in it, not even in Israel. This was a great faith. Why God gave this woman this faith. It took the mighty resurrection power of God for a woman to believe that. Christ said, you're a dog. And she said, that's the truth, Lord, but I'm your dog. So you see, this belief that men come up with is devilish. The devils believe and even tremble. You see, God's power brings a living, obedient, submissive belief. And it takes the working of God's mighty power. Let's read it one more time in closing. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And then I'll read the rest. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his, that is Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Do you see the mighty power of God? Do you see the mighty power of Jesus Christ? This is what it took for me to believe. This is what it took for you to believe. If you do not believe today, it will take the mighty power of God to bring you to that. That is within his hands to give or not to give.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.